and benefit from such a great and glorious gospel. As we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let us move expeditiously into our dissertation this morning. Take your document, and ushers, make sure that I guess at least have the excerpts of our document and everything that we preach and teach here at the Grace Gospel Church is in writing. That was the instruction that was given to us when we began this ministry some going on 16 years ago now. We thank God, amen, for all of the documentations in our, which we have archived on our website. We also welcome those that are viewing us. We have a worldwide ministry through our webcast, amen, all over the world. We say to you, if you will look into our audio or either video sector of our website, you will find icon that lists our documentation. And our documentation, you click on it, and this entire document comes up. We're in volume 2. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. For manifestation in time. Now, we spent some 5 or so years in volume 1. What we seek to do is to draw line of demarcation between what we see and what actually exists. What actually exists is actualized in God's saying, in God's decree, in eternality. What we see, that is manifestations in time, basically sequential depictions, the day by day, moment by moment display of things. But they are all arranged according to what has been actualized in eternity. I want you to turn to page 9 of our document. And again, those who are watching, it would be helpful to you to click on that icon and this entire document will come up on page 9. Repeat after me, relativism.
Relativism.
In scripture ontology.
In scriptural ontology.
What is relativism? That is how thing relates. How things relate. And what they relate to. Ontology, that is the study of being. That which is ontologized is that which comes into being and how it comes into a being. Or how does a thing exist? Now, we have taken time and gone through and will continue to painstakingly go through these. Because if we're ever going to make any sense of things that are around us, we have to stop using ourselves as the mental pole, as the vantage point, as the center of operations, of what is and why is. And this is why, as we look around in the world, we are perplexed at what is going on. Because we look at things and relate them to ourselves. And here we make a case, a scripture case, for relating everything to God. Everything to God, nothing to ourselves. When you relate things to yourself, you're going to come up with a blank. You'll come up, actually, as we previously said, induces more questions than answers. You look into certain portions of the Bible and things are written and relate directly to human earthly view. You're always left with more questions than answers. More confusion than consistencies. And so we say life is weird. Life is strange. Life is confusing. And what we're saying at that point is that things as we see them, things as we view them, don't make sense. Now, it doesn't mean that the things don't make sense. What's happening is they don't make sense to us. And the reason they don't make sense to us is because we are viewing them in the physical vein of how they appear rather than what God's plan is for them. Everything touching life. And this causes us sometimes to really not want to think about certain things. You know, we don't like to think about growing old. Because ultimately that leads to what?
Death.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Because we assess things based upon us. And we are temporary creatures. To get any continuity, perpetuity, you need to focus away from yourself and look at life in the sense of what existence really is. All things exist in Him. Everybody say in Him.
In Him.
And it's in God.
Thank God.
All right, take your Bibles. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. Now here at the Grace Gospel Church, our exegesis is always according to the Greek manuscripts. Now we utilize from familiarity the King James translation because this is what most of us are familiar with. For those that are watching or listening, when we get to the Greek interlineal that we use, it is because you have the Greek word from the manuscript, and then the English word under it, so the translator's feet are held closer to the fire. If he goes off the track, off the chart, from the Greek scripting, then he has to put some type of little bookmark or something. He has to put something there, let you know that, hey, I'm veering from what the original manuscript is quoting. And we do this because we cannot possibly, and correctly, I should say, give explication or explain something that we aren't sure of what it is saying. And so we do this, and it's meticulous, and it's time. It's a time taker. Amen. And to some, it's a strain on the brain. But we must get this right. If you don't get anything else right, my friend, you must get God's word correct if you are going to progress to life in joy, in peace, and comfort. Amen. And really enjoying that which God has purposely laid out for us. Now, in this passage, note a few weeks ago in Bible study, and of course for those that are listening, thank God for all of your prayers through our webcast as well as those that are here. Amen. I'm mending. I'm not there yet. Amen. So you pray for me this morning. In this passage, everybody got 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse, let's go to verse 1.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse.
Everybody got it, amen?
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God.
So when I come to you, and if the conversation and the focus is on God, there are certain things that are missing. Many sermons, as they call them, are messages, which they really are, are couched in the wisdom of mankind's philosophy. And the things that are focused on are those things that are the conventional wisdom of mankind. The essence of life is in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. That is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Speaks to the end that all things were created in him. I know the King James has by him. Here we must focus and understand as we look at the Greek scripting, that word is ipsilon ni, using the modern Greek pronunciation, which is in rather than by. And here's the difference. If things were created by him, then they are remote from him. But the fact that they are in him settles the question as to where everything resides. And it speaks to the end that everything was created in him, through him, and for him. Whatever it is, whether it's thrones, whether it's principalities, whether it's dominions, whether it's visible or invisible, all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
That means all situations. All of the crazy things that we look at and we say, this is crazy. It doesn't make sense. Which simply means it doesn't make sense to us. God has purposed. The unfortunate things as we view them, God has purpose. God has use. For everything touching you, God has use for it. And he planned it. And he placed it in that frame for his use. Every mountain is there for God to use. Now he will remove it after he has used it.
Amen.
So that trouble that came, it is what? In him, everybody? In him, what? Through him, for him. So here as Paul comes to them, he has said, I am coming not in the wisdom of man, but let's just read it. Verse 2.
For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
What Paul is saying there is that when I come, we're going to talk about things as they relate to Christ. And everything that we talk about, going to relate to Christ and not to us. Read.
Verse 3. And I was with you in weakness, mm-hmm, and in fear and in much trembling.
Mm-hmm.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, mm-hmm, of man's wisdom,
mm-hmm,
but in demonstration, mm-hmm, of the Spirit and of power.
So as I went through all of these things with you, we never wavered from the message. Now each week we come in here and there are background of things that we could talk about. We could talk about the mass shooting in the school. We could talk about the economy. We could talk about the city being bankrupt. We could talk about our personal problems.
Sure.
Somebody was sick this week. Somebody got some bad news this week. Somebody had a loved one to pass this week. And these things are worth talking about. But when we talk about them, let's talk about them as they relate to God, mm-hmm, rather than how they relate to us. So I lost my job. That's relating to me. No. That's relating to you as an object of how it relates to God.
Hallelujah.
God had purpose, mm-hmm, in the fact that you lost your job.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. The exercise here, and in all of our exercises, especially as we deal with relativism in scripture ontology, is to relate all of existence to God through the scriptures. So we don't look at things trying to figure out what they are based upon what we see. Because many times what we see is not what it is.
Amen.
Yeah. You remember the man Jesus touched his eyes, the blind man, and he said, "What do you see?" "I see men as trees."
Mm-hmm.
So he touched him again. He said, "No, now I see men as men," but men were always men. So what we see doesn't define what a thing is. That problem of yours, what you view as a problem, it's not what you think it is. Unless you have drawn from the scriptures to explain to you what it is. But what is this? Go to the Word of God. All right, read.
Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but
not in what you see,
but in the power of God.
Lord, we ever asked the Lord, what is this for?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us say, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
When the real question is what?
What is this for?
What is God's purpose for this?
Amen.
We have a way of leaving God out of things.
Out.
All the way out.
Hammered.
We're tied up into something and God is not even on the scene.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least not in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But all things must be viewed how they relate to Him. We always say, what are we doing? Without saying, what is God doing?
Yes.
Amen.
And this is how we view life.
Amen.
Life is about us. No, it's not. Your life is about Christ and what He has for you in this life. Not about your plan and your purpose, but about His plan and what he has purposed for you. Romans 14 and 7 speaks to the end that no man what?
Live
to himself, and no one what?
Die.
Your living and your dying is not about you.
It's not.
It's, no, that's tough for us. No, that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. It's about him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul goes on and he says, and whether you live,
mm-hmm.
it is to him.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose is about him.
Mm-hmm.
And when, not if, when you die.
Mm-hmm.
It is to God's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you live or you die,
mm-hmm.
we belong to the Lord. Everybody say, we belong to the Lord.
We belong to
the Lord. That should be a comforting thought.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a very comforting thought.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're just flung out here into the universe, a long way from God. How far? As far as spirituality is from physicality. And then even in physicality, we're stretched out. Because in the universe, there are the galaxies, billions of them. And on one, which is the Milky Way,
mm-hmm.
resides many, many stars,
yes.
of which the sun is one. And then in the sun's sphere of the solar system,
mm-hmm.
there is this little tiny orb called the Earth.
Oh, tiny.
How many of you saw the pictures from the moon Saturn of Earth? It was on the internet and maybe in the newspapers. It was a dot. And then when you magnify the earth, we are a dot on the earth. How much of the earth's space do we individually occupy? And so when you view it that way, there's this stretched out distance between us and God. So we're just floating out in the universe. In a galaxy. And in that galaxy, in a star. And in that star, on a planet. And on that planet, one little small space. Long way from God. If we view everything in physicality. But we look into the Word of God. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he did what?
Chose us.
Chose us where?
In him.
When?
Before.
Before creation.
Mm-hmm.
We're in him. Physically, we are so far from him. Spiritually, we are.
Spiritually.
In him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glory. Yes, sir.
That's the way he is near. That's the way he is discerned to be intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Tied to us.
Mm-hmm.
In spirituality.
Glory to God. Amen.
As opposed to physicality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the sake of time, keep reading.
Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
That Greek word there means mature. Read.
Yet not the wisdom of this world.
You see, you want me to stop. Wait a minute. Then the scripture said not. What does that mean? Not.
Don't.
I mean, Colossians 3 and 2 says, those of us that are risen with Christ, seek the above things where Christ sitteth from the right on the hand of God, which means the spiritual sphere that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, very clearly, not set your affections
mm-hmm.
there on the above,
mm-hmm.
other things above.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly it says what? not on the things of the earth. What is it if we said that we believe God? What is it about His word that we don't understand, not on the things of the earth? And the Greek word literally means pay attention or prioritize. Mm-hmm. Prioritize the above spiritual things. This is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says we're not looking at the things that are seen. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at what?
The things not being seen.
Because the things seen are what?
Temporary
and physical. And the things that are not seen, what? Spiritual and eternal. It's like it goes right by us. So we don't really look to God to figure things out. We look to ourselves. And this is what he is saying in that passage there. Read that again.
Howbeit we speak, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature,
mm-hmm.
yet not the wisdom of this world,
mm-hmm.
nor of the princes of this world,
mm-hmm.
that come to naught.
That come, what does that mean, come to naught? It, what's the result? Zero. Read.
Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Even the hidden wisdom,
mm-hmm.
which God ordained before the world unto
everything
our glory.
Everything goes back to eternity. Now, we could use as our mantra and set up on our mantle many things, the mantle many things that would be interesting. I heard of one church that they did a survey to see what the people were interested in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between the preacher and the politician. The real preacher, he preached the things that God, of God, and not of men. The politician says what the people want to hear, what he thinks the people want to hear. And the preacher, he's consigned to preach the things of God, which in most cases are not the things that we want to hear. The politician says how smart we are. The preacher is consigned to say how dumb we are. Put it in colloquial terms there. The politician speaks of the wisdom of the American people, of the people. The preacher's consigned to say, don't go there. Isn't that what Paul is saying? Don't go there unless you want to be confused. Don't go there. Your life is not about what you think. And of course, I respect everybody's opinion. I have some opinions. But if they don't, my friend, if they don't align with the word of God, they're worthless.
Worthless.
Amen.
All right, read.
Amen.
Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Keep reading. I could comment there, but...
But as it is written,
mm-hmm.
I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath be prepared for them that love him.
Those loving him. Listen to me. If you don't know anything else, become apprised of the glorious, great, eternal plan that God has for you, which excels and exceeds and transcends above everything, each and everything that you're involved in now. Because everything that you're involved in now will soon pass. Even if you live to be 100, you are 1,200 years, 1,200 months, and 36,500 and some days old. Somebody said, well, that's a long time in comparison to what? In comparison, is that long? In comparison to forever. So whatever we're going through now, to really get the essence of what life is, we must look beyond the here and the now. Because there's really no such thing as now. Mm-hmm. Everybody said now.
Now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That one's gone. There's only one now. Mm-hmm. And that's the eternal now. Everybody said the eternal now.
Eternal now.
Where things are. Mm-hmm. And they are not shackled in sequences. What is, is.
Amen.
Hasn't manifested yet.
Amen.
But it is. Read.
Amen.
Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
By his Spirit. By the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Read.
For the Spirit searcheth all things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the deep things of God.
Right.
Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?
Mm-hmm.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God.
Now here's the analogy. So nobody knows what a certain person is thinking, except that person. Some of us try to read each other's thoughts. But we really can't. You don't know what I'm really thinking. You can guess. And I don't know what you're thinking. I can guess, but I don't really know. Here's the analogy. Only the Holy Spirit knows what God thinks. Oh, you can guess. But I guarantee you, you're going to come up blank. Or confused. Or with the wrong impression of the thoughts of God. When we look into the Word of God, actually we look into the Holy Spirit to communicate us the thinking and thoughts of God. Because that's the thing that we should all relate to. Not ourselves. Everybody said not ourselves.
Not ourselves.
But God. And so now we're not locked into the clutches of those who are shackled by the impressionism of mankind. But our relativism, or how things relate, are strictly to God. And then to find out what that is, the Holy Spirit communicates to us what it is. So even in trying to answer the questions of the things that we see in the news media, we have to go to the Word of God. It's all about Him. All right, finish that up.
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world,
mm-hmm.
but the spirit which is of God,
uh-huh.
that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Mm-hmm. Read.
Which things also we speak,
uh-huh.
not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth.
Not in what men teaches, but what? How is our assessment?
but which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
Uh-huh, doing what?
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
All right, this is where we land today. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Not comparing physical with physical. And not comparing physical with spiritual. You see, it is impossible to explain physicality with physicality, even though scientism, they try. They try very hard, though. And so, but they end up with a processes, as we were reading from the pastor's pen this morning, without purpose. When you lock into processes, you haven't solved the problem. You don't have the answer. All you have are postulations and speculations of what things are. And then some try to explain spirituality with physicality. The ministries. And we got to break things down to where what the people can understand what we're talking about. This is like saying, well, the Holy Spirit is too complicated, and what he's saying, we're not going to be able to understand it. No. Everything that the Holy Spirit has a sign for you to know.
Right.
He pulls back the cover.
Yes.
And causes you to see the essence of what things are. And so the bottom line of this verse is comparing spiritual with spiritual. Looking at everything spiritually, and the way you do that is you look at everything relative to God. And not to ourselves. And when you do that, you're on the road to making sense of life. I mean, just life itself. You're born, you're raised, go to school, hopefully finish school. Then you get married. You gotta get the job before you get married. Then you have children. Look up one day. They're grown. And they have children. And you're like me. I'm a grandfather. Then you can't live. You keep living. And then one day, if you're able to stick around a little longer, your children will have children. But at some point, it's, as they say, those that use time clocks in the jobs, it's checkout time. Oh, we don't want to think about that. That's why we're so skittish about transformation out of these bodies. We sort of like with that song that Sam Cooke used to sing, it's too hard living, but I'm afraid to die because I have no idea what's above the sky. No, it's here. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. Nor has it entered into the physical or mental thinking or secular thinking of mankind. Those things that God has prepared for us. But he has revealed them to us. How? Through the Holy Spirit. It starts with assessing everything according to God. Everybody say according to God.
According to God.
Yes. Let's go to your document, page 9 at the top. I'm going to read maybe one or two paragraphs. I'm cognizant of the time. Page 9. Repeat after me again. Relativism.
Relativism.
In scripture, ontology. how things relate to the scriptures concerning existence, a life. How does life relate to the excuse me, to the scriptures?
Amen.
That's the only way we should relate life. All right, follow us as we read here. Relativism exhibits what some elements are aspects of secular experiences and cultures are relative to. As such, are dependent upon other ingredients or features of physicality. That's the definition when we look at things, leaving God out of it. Now, God is over here, and what's happening is over there. Because otherwise, he created it, and then he put it out there, and then it's up to us what we do with it. That's a frightening thought. That's a very frightening thought. No. This vision exercises tenuous and arduous statements of relativism. And this is what we come up with. For example, what is true for you is not for me. Another one, I'm sure we've all heard this, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Also, and we hear this more and more, you can't judge other cultures by your standards. You can't judge other cultures by your standards. I know I'm getting some letters on this, but I'm sad, and I know that this is going out. I was watching television, and ministers now are pressured. And they were asking him about the so-called Fair Marriage Act. And you know, we like to be politically correct, don't we? Mm-hmm. And in these days and time. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, he said, well, I believe in the Fair Marriage Act. That I let us. Do you know what a Fair Marriage Act would also include? You go to the first chapter of Romans. I'm just throwing this out here. I'm not here to get into sociology this morning. It included men with men, women with women, men with beast. So once you open that door, what happens next? What comes out of Pandora's box? Incest. Brother and sister wanting to what? Get married. What else? I love my dog. I want to marry my dog. I want to marry my cat. I said, Pastor, you're being ridiculous. No. Once you turn to the wisdom of men. Now, I wouldn't waste 10 minutes of this congregation's time, and I'm only saying this as it relates to relativism.
Amen.
Going out to protest, petition Lansing, or the United States government to uphold some civil law. It doesn't matter what mankind says or thinks.
Mm-hmm.
We make things relative to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What's true for you is not true for me. Didn't we just read it? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Didn't we just read it? You can't judge one culture by another standard. So what's good over here is bad over there, and what's bad over here is good over there. Because what we're relating to,
yep.
ourselves. The only thing is, what does the Word of God teach? What does the Word of God say about it?
Amen. Thank God. Yes.
How does this issue relate to God, not to me? How does life relate to God and not to me? My friend, your life is not about you. It's too short. Life is about eternality. Life is about everlasting living. Everlasting existence. Everlasting abiding. Life is about forever. If it's not forever, it's not really life. It's merely an interval or interlude. What we call life is an interlude. Because it comes and then it goes. And everything that happens in it, what happened? It came and it went. The moment you breathed a go, it's gone.
Right. Amen.
The thing you did yesterday,
well,
is history.
Yes,
life is about what is, not what comes and then goes.
Right.
And so we have to focus on God. Like I just finished up one paragraph. Secular relativism's declarations is that humans grasp and evaluate their beliefs and behaviors best in terms of historical and cultural context. Challenges of relativism in various degrees of controversy endeavor to regulate or codify so-termed truth relativism. You know what that has deduced to? The doctrine that there are no absolute truths. Because we are using ourselves as the point of focus. And when we do that, what I think is just as credible as what you think. Yeah, that's your opinion. That's my opinion. You're correct. So let's stop prioritizing each other's opinion. Look at how things relate to God. The doctrine that there are no absolute truths. Certainty is always provision in district frames of reference. That is some specific language. Cultural and scripture review. This vow is self-defeating if such is averred that all truth is subject to some physical frame of reference. What do we have? We've got nothing dependable. As the statements are subject to reference frames and are thus not consistent themselves, we must focus and prioritize and relate to God. As we move forward, we'll be talking a little about moral relativism, and of course, that must be as it relates to God. Any type of focus as to what things are cannot be in conventional wisdom, but how things actually relate to God. What does God have to say about it? What does the Word of God teach? And so, when we come in here to minister each week,
come on, come on.
We regardless of what others may do. We're going to open this book, and we're going to look, and we're going to focus our study on how things relate to God.
Amen.
What does God say about it?
Hallelujah.
What is God's purpose for it?
Mm-hmm.
What is God doing in this? What is this about? It's traced to what God has brought it into existence for. And everything that's in existence is as the result of God having purposed it according to his will. Everything concerning us, we do not decide what is and what isn't.
Thank God.
Who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Who your parents are.
Amen.
What your gender is.
Amen.
What era you're born in.
Mm-hmm.
What society you're born in. What your social status is, what your economic status is.
Mm-hmm.
What's the color of your skin? What's the texture of your hair?
Mm-hmm.
None of these things we decide. They were pre-assigned to us.
To us.
Right. That's
yes.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
Who you married to? Who you stay married to, who you don't stay married to.
Amen.
These are all passing events that are assigned.
Mm-hmm.
Who your children are.
Mm-hmm.
How long you live, what your days are.
That's right.
Some people live 100 years, some people live 100 minutes, and some are stillborn. God is timeless, and he has accomplished his purpose in each and everything that occurs.
That's right. That's right.
Now, these are the things we're going to pursue because we're going to take a realistic look at life. And that's not the way to pack the house. I know that. Because we're more interested in what we think than what God has designed and purposed for his will.
Amen.
And true life is eternal life.
Eternal.
The actualized definition of salvation is your eternal relationship with God. That's what life is about.
Mm-hmm.
And the ministry has failed to keep that before us. And so our view of life is what we're doing from day to day, how we're handling things, and we're not.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
What we're involved in, and it's temporary.
Amen.
And none of it has a future. Your future must relate to God. That word in the Greek means a casting beyond. So when you transcend or you cast beyond where you are, where are you? We always were.
Always were.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
Give him a praise.
Oh,
hey! Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank
you.
Hallelujah.
Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen, amen.